This morning's responsive reading from God's Word came from Proverbs chapter 29, verses 15 to verse 27. And I like to entitle this, Light versus Darkness. Light versus Darkness. Or you can also use the term, Life versus Death. Or Goodness versus Badness, if that's a word. We have opposites being contrasted. We begin with verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother, and by implication his father as well, to shame. There's been a term that we were accustomed to many years ago, latchkey kids or latchkey children. Children who would come home to an empty home. Daddy's working, and because of financial situations, mom is also working. And so these children would come home from school during the school years, that time of the year, and they would come home to an empty house. Now, if they had brothers and sisters, that would be a blessing because at least they had some company. Or if they had some friends in the neighborhood, that would be like their adopted brothers and sisters, which they would run around and play and do whatever. But in most cases, especially in slums and projects and big urban cities where you have a part of the city that everybody wants to simply forget, or maybe even homes of the rich and famous, when a child is left to him or herself and there's no boundaries, there's no one there to point in a right direction or to warn of a bad direction in the twists and turns to life, a child left to himself with no direction, no boundaries, no guidelines to life, no absolutes being instilled in the heart and the mind of a child, that there are certain things that are acceptable in society, then there are certain things that are unacceptable, okay? But then if you have the Christian worldview brought into picture, a child that's left all to him or herself and never told that there's a God, a creator God, with whom they are accountable to, and the fact that God and his laws and his kingdom govern such a one, if that is deprived, or if that knowledge is withheld, or that knowledge is never given or instilled in that mind of a child, and that child is just simply left to be planted and to bloom, as some would say, on their own, we have seen some children who eventually become some real nasty adults when they were left all by themselves with no direction. So for the mom and the dad that's out there that may be listening, and you have the philosophy of letting your child just bud like a plant, and you provide no watering and no fertilizing and no weeding of the weeds, don't be surprised if that child grows up someday and bites you like a snake. Parents have a responsibility to instill guidelines and principles in their children's lives. There's more to being a parent than stuffing everything under a Christmas tree. And then 2 months later, half the stuff that was under that tree is either stuffed in a closet or has already made it to the local landfill, and you're stuck with the credit card payments. There's more to life than stuffing a tree on a particular day of the year. Parents need to be giving their children guidelines, boundaries, principles, and absolutes, because the world that's outside the four walls of their home is very real, and it's very dangerous. Verse 16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. All you got to do is look at the Biden administration. All you got to do is look at the movers and the shakers of Hollywood and the entertainment business. Look at the internet and social media and all the garbage that's out there. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. How about we read it this way? When darkness is multiplied, transgressions will also multiply. How's that grab you for a commentary? But the righteous shall see their fall. Yes, beloved, it would seem right now, the way you hear Christian radio, right now, with the war going on in Ukraine and all of the bombings and the genocide going on there in Palestine, you would think we got 5 more minutes to live before this world simply implodes, the way you hear Christian radio. But beloved, the church has been pumping strong for 2,000 plus years, and we've seen Napoleons come and go, we've seen Attila the Huns come and go, we've seen Genghis Khans come and go, we've seen Mussolinis and Hitlers and Tojos come and go. But the righteous remain. The church remains. The kingdom of God is still here. It's not dead. Jesus is alive and well. And so, my dear friends, the first half of verse 16 can cause us to be very discouraged and very dismayed and basically throw our hands up in the air and say, what can the church do? Well, beloved, the church can do a whole lot of things right now, despite the darkness. We can cast light in this world by sending and supporting and praying for missionaries. Seeing churches planted in different communities where there is no candlestick that would shed forth light. And so, yes, verse 16a is true. When the wicked are multiplied, sins come in like a floodgate. But 16b is just as much Bible as 16a. The righteous shall see their fall. Notice verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. This is almost kind of like a commentary to that verse 15. Correct thy son. So when a parent says, I just let my child bloom, I just simply take my child and plant him out in the backyard and wait for the elm tree to be there 20 years later, they're a fool. It's simply a pipe dream. The Bible says, correct thy son, or correct thy daughter, and he shall give thee rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul. When is he going to give you delight to your soul? Well, when you're gray-headed and bald. At that time in your sojourn on this planet, you would sure like to see a son or a daughter that you can look at and be pleased, and know that you have done your job to the best of your ability. And now look at my son or at my daughter in that regards. Look at verses 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. Okay, that's just as much as the Bible. But 23b says, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Peter tells us, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. 1 Peter, I believe. Verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Oh yes, the face of men is very intimidating. That's why some of us sometimes as Christians, we kind of clam up when we ought to be able to say something. Like for instance, witnessing, or maybe just simply making a comment in the context of a conversation. We kind of hesitate to bring up the Bible and Jesus and God because of the fearfulness of other men's faces. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And I believe church history can imitate, or can at least testify to that fact of life. But then finally, we come to that beloved verse 27. Notice this. Now, this is just as much Christian as the Sermon on the Mount. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. Now, has that changed because we're under grace, we're under the new covenant? Somehow this is no longer the Word of God, it's no longer applicable in the 21st century? I got news for you, beloved. There are some people right now in high office. They are an abomination to me. Okay, they are an abomination. Biden is an abomination. His vice president is an abomination. Pelosi is an abomination. Many Republicans in high office are an abomination to me. Because the way they think, the way they act, and the way they vote, they basically trample underfoot. Now, yesterday was Veterans Day. They trample underfoot the men and the women who lie in the ground right now. And I'm going to make a comment with no apology, so don't ask. They urinate. That's a refined word. They urinate every day on the men and women who are buried in any cemetery in this world. They urinate on them. And there's other words in the Old Testament that use the other word. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way. Now notice the opposite, light versus dark. You are an abomination to the wicked. Anyone here want to tell me that verse 27 isn't alive and well in America? In modern day society, is anyone here going to stand up and tell me that Proverbs 29:27 is no longer relevant because it's tucked in the Old Testament? Those individuals, beloved, who are truly unjust and their lifestyle simply flows with an unjust lifestyle in deed and in word, they ought to be an abomination to your soul. On the flip side, your light and your salt ought to be so bright and so salty that guess what? You are an abomination to the unjust man. If your life is not an abomination to those who are unjust, then there's something wrong with our brand of Christianity. That's what it says, and that's what it means. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.